Have you ever seen somebody that they're thinking and they're trying to figure something out, and all of a sudden it's like that light bulb, and what do they say? They say, and when they say that, they haven't already started to enjoy the benefit of it, but they already get glad because they know they have the answer for whatever it was that was stumping them. And so we have to learn to take pleasure with God in the middle of trials and circumstances. We have to know that we got it. Amen? And so that's why the Bible says that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. So when God speaks to us and gives us our daily bread, when I get my daily bread, when I know that I have spent time in the presence of God and His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God, you know what I say? I got it. If God be for me, who can be for me? I got it. I got it. I got it, Lord. I got it. I understand. I got it. If God be for me, who can be against me? Just say it out loud. Say, if God be for me, who can be against me? No, really, think about that. The God who made the world, spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be light. There's light. He separated light and darkness, days and nights, weeks and months and years, and gave us the ability to come to a day that we could come up with this conclusion. I got it. Have you come to your day? Because the Bible says when the Spirit comes in John chapter 14, He says, on that day, there's a day where you will know for sure that Jesus is in the Father and that He's also in us and that we're in Him. He says there's a I got it day that you should have in your life. And then after you have the I got it day, then from now on, every one of your days should be an I got it day. I got it. Well, no. Why would I fall back into the problem of the challenge in which God has already overcame by giving me His Spirit, which has overcome everything in this world? Why would I get confused and wonder what the recipe is for success today when I've already come to the conclusion, I got it? It's amazing how we sometimes fall back into bondage and challenge that we were never meant to be under. But the Bible says we should be above only and never beneath. It says that we should be the heads and not the tail. And it's amazing how sometimes one day we can be the head and how quickly we will go and say, well, I'm just the tail. And so we have to, the Bible says, let your election and your calling be sure. Let it be known. If you're a child of God, then you're a child of God. Let it be known. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say, no, 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 no. I can't be in bondage. I can't be oppressed, depressed. I can't be under. Why? Because I've been redeemed by the God who can redeem whoever He says He can redeem. So just say it again. I got it. Feels good. Feels good. I'm not looking for it. I remember somebody told me one time we were talking about coming into the truth, and they asked, well, you know, how do you know your religion is true for sure? And even though you became a Christian, don't you think it's good to study other religions also? And I said, well, no, I think that's about the dumbest thing I ever heard. And he said, well, how do you know for sure then that you have the right one? And I looked and I said, are you married? Yes, I am. So do you spend, once you know you found yours, the rest of your life sampling others? Well, what makes you think in the covenant that's greater than any earthly covenant, you would try to do the same thing? Maybe you have never got married yet. Once you've come into covenant with God, what are you going to do? Sample other things? You know, we would see it so horrible when somebody cheats on a spouse earthly. We think that is one of the worst things. But yet, the first and great marriage is to God Himself. The Bible says the church is His bride. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we got it. Why should we seek another? But you know what? You can get comfortable with your spouse. You can, like, look at old pictures and say, we had it. We had it. You remember when we had it? And sometimes in our walk with God, we had it. But we wonder if we got it. I want to give a shout out today. We didn't have the benefit. Mom and Dad left after last weekend, and they went to the first service of Wenatchee. But on October 4th, it was their 51st wedding anniversary, 51 years of marriage. And if they could sing a song, they would say, there's been good times, and there's been bad. There's been ups and downs. There's been bumps on the road. But I see right now that their latter house is even greater than their former. Amen. 51 years into it, they're more committed in their relationship than they've ever been. Why? Because they have come into the conclusion that they're living the life God wants them to live and doing the work God's called them to do. And when you can work vision together with anybody else, there's a bond. And so when you, husband and wife, aren't working together, you're missing out on the bond that holds things together. You're missing out on the portion. So there must be vision. The Bible says people perish for a lack of vision. And any house that has division, which is two different visions, die like dice, division, two visions. Any house that is divided, it can't stand. Why? Because it doesn't have the connecting mold to hold it together. So there has to be vision in the house. And we have to all be able to say, I got it. I know what the vision is. I know my place. And I know that I'm a helpmeet. I know that I'm the one to do this portion. I know this is my job. I know where I fit in to the plan and the vision. I got it. So do you know where you fit into the body of Christ today? The Bible says clearly, there's nobody that's an individual. In fact, did you know that Jesus isn't coming back for individuals? The Bible says that Jesus is coming back for only one body. Let me say that again. Jesus is not coming back for a whole bunch of individuals. He's coming back for one body. Jesus is coming back for one body. And it's the body of Christ, all those who have gathered together to make his spirit their body, in which they work in coordination just like your body does. And he's coming back for his body, the body of Christ, his bride, the church. So he's coming back for one body. And scripture also says that there's only going to be one body that goes to hell. And it's going to be those that have made their life to be the working body for the enemy. Satan is already destined. He's already been sentenced. His place is sure. His time is short. And anybody who mounts up with him and lets their life be his body, his hands, his feet, his mouth, his planning, his doing, they're going to go as one. They're going to be judged as one body. They're going to be judged with him. But the Bible says that even hell itself was never made for mankind. It was made so that Satan could be put in his place and destroyed forever. So it was never God's plan for you to go there. But there's something amazing about covenant. The Bible says when husband and wife come together, the two become. And so when you, that's why it says, be careful. Out of all the different sins that you did, sexual sin is one of the most dangerous because you actually connect yourself. It says, don't you know that if you lay with the harlot, you become one with the harlot? So how much more with the enemy, with the devil who fights your life, who fights God's plan, who's trying to steal what you got it? Anyhow, I was giving a shout out to Mom and Dad. I think they got it. 51 years in, and they are working hard out there in Lake Roosevelt to have a place that when they die, this is the type of thinking they have. When we die, we want something that will live past us to glorify God and that people can come in and be saved. What are you working on? Isn't it amazing how it really puts a focus on what your time and use is? Because if you're the body of Christ, tell me about your time spent. Jesus put it like this. He said, hey, you, come follow me. And the young man said, oh, I got some business I got to handle. I'm going to take care of some stuff, and then I'll meet up with you later. And Jesus says, anybody that puts their shoulder to the plow and looks back isn't fit for this kingdom. It's not fit for this kingdom. So it's kind of like anybody that gets into a covenant of marriage and then walks beyond the covenant of their marriage and leaves it, the Bible says that's the one place in a marriage where you have the right to get out. Otherwise, the covenant keeps you together. So if anybody has been unfaithful, the spouse has the right to be blessed by God in their leaving. Right? What do you think he's saying? Do you think this is just an earthly law? Do you not understand what he's showing you with the church? It's an amazing thing that we are literally the body of Christ on the earth. Did we come to the conclusion last week that God can't be contained? You put him in bread and it rises. You put him in a grave and it opens. But what if you put him in a believer? What should happen? If God can't be contained, what happens when he gets in our lives? We understood from last week's sermon that we're the body in the house of God. Who can build a house that can contain God? If the heavens can't contain him, how can a house contain him? And Solomon was given the crazy job of building God a house, only to come to this conclusion. God never wanted me to build a house with his hands to contain him. He wanted me to have a place so that people could become the house. He wants us to come in that we might be saved, and then you become the temple of the living God. I want you to know, if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, you are the house of God. And in your confession of who he is, in your revelation of the power, the strength, the ability, the love, the mercy of God, that should be coming out of your life because you are the body of Christ. So we have to know that God wants to be revealed in your life. The God who is in you needs to be seen out of you. What a great charge. Now, we don't try to do it in our own strength and work and say, okay, I'm going to try to make God love me, so I'm going to try so hard to see if he'll love me. No. I already got it. A pregnant woman doesn't try to be pregnant. Well, I don't think. I'm not a woman, and I've never been pregnant. But I think my wife would agree, when she is pregnant, she didn't try to be pregnant. She was just pregnant. What was on the inside was bigger than what she could hold on the, and it was coming out. Trust me, if you hold a living thing on the inside of you long enough, it will come out. There's no way you can have something living on the inside and it never come out. You know, sometimes people will cuss and then they'll say, oh man, I'm sorry, forgive me. And I want you to know, it didn't just come out right there. It was in there and just got out. And so then we try to condition ourselves not to swear in certain circumstances, only to fail. And so then we try to get more disciplined in holding it in. Don't be disciplined in holding God in. Be disciplined in letting God out. This is going to be a great message if you don't already love it. It's going to be one of my best, I think. I got a good one. I want to give a shout out. Shannon, we got a little baby here today. How old is baby? Almost a month. Is this the first church service? Second church service. So guess what? A little baby came out and is already in. The little baby was in her. She's in God. The baby came out of her. She immediately brought the baby in God. If you have a business and it's not in God, quit praying for it. Just do it out of him. Otherwise, bring it in him so that the God who can't be contained can be in the business. Why? Because what's in will come out. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? I'm going to preach this one on my cadence. Turn with me quickly to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Swear, Aaron, I know him. Don't I? I mean, I got to know him. It looks like it's the hair. Listen, there's a club we all meet when you guys don't know it, but I'm glad you're here today. I believe God has a word for you. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's go back to verse 4 again. It says, for whatsoever is born of God, born from above, born in heaven, didn't get its origins from here where you're at, but its start was in heaven with God. Whatever has its start with God will overcome anything in this world. Anything that starts with God can overcome anything here. How's that? That's good news. Anything that starts with God will overcome anything in this world. Can I give you an example? If it's born of God, that means that the seed is God's seed. And if he plants his seed anywhere in this earth or anything around the earth, the overcoming power and ability of it will grow until it makes room that it comes out. If you put God's seed in a dead thing, the dead thing wakes up. If you put God's seed in an unfruitful thing, it's going to become fruitful. And if you put the uncorruptible seed of God in a human being, it's coming out. That's why we have to make sure that our religion and relationship with God is born from above and isn't our earthly works and traditions that we do to say that, okay, I have a resume that God should accept me into heaven. But what your life is called to do is you have to lay your old life down that was born of the earth so that the new life born of God can be manifested. So the Bible says you have to die to your old man and your old self. And so when we go into the baptismal pool over here, this is where the pool is, we climb up those stairs, one, two, three, we step over one, there's one more step, I tell you there's one more step down, you go down there, I tell you to turn, cross your arms, I will give you a three count before I take you down, I just want you to bend your knees, amen. And then we say, dearly beloved, according to your faith and your confession, in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I now indeed baptize you in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive on the inside of you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we take them and we baptize them. And the Bible says that the water baptism signifies that you have died to your old self. The part of you that was born on the earth has just been buried with Christ so that when you are raised up, it can be the expectation that the newness of God is going to be my new life. Why? Because that's the part that can't be overcome by anything in the world. So we die to our old life, and we do it publicly. We do it right here in the middle of the church so everybody can see. Listen, if you see my dead man walking around, tell him to get back to the grave. Once you see me die and he's walking, tell everybody, dead man walking. Contain that dead thing. Why? Because that's no longer the fruit of what's inside. That's no longer the life. That part died. Now everybody's feeling a little nervous because they immediately started doing a check. Am I dead or am I alive? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? Are you sure? It's not supposed to be one of those things that when you get to the end, you start saying, I hope I'm born of God. I hope. Listen, you don't want to start having that question when your eyes start going dim and it's 3, 2, 1. You don't want to think, I hope. That's not the time to start a new hope that you weren't living. So my question is, are you born from God? If you are, you have no excuse ever for anything continually containing you, ever. It might be a matter of time. Some things take time. Jesus cursed the fig tree. It looked normal until they walked away. They came back time later. Then it looked, okay, oh, that, yep, yep. You get a woman pregnant, it takes over 9 months for that thing to come out if it's on the schedule of what we believe to be the right timing. So what's inside has to come out. And if it comes from God, there's nothing in the world that can stop it. Get me? Now, the Bible says that the word of God is a seed. So that means that Jesus is constantly throwing seed from the throne to the earth. The Bible says that he would speak and give us our daily bread. And he's constantly pouring out things that were born from him, born from God, born from above. And he gives it to us. And whoever can receive it by faith and receive it in their heart, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If you can receive that word by faith, you shall have whatever God said. That's it. Good night. I don't know what else to tell you. If God said it and it gets in you and you hold it and don't abort it, it will birth out of you. It will. It will. The woman with the issue of blood had been told as a little girl that when the Messiah comes in his garments and in his wings, the tassels on his garment, there's going to be healing. And she was sick and had spent all of her money. She had issues where she wasn't even supposed to be in public, but she heard a word that God sent through a prophet in which she believed. And when she heard the word that was born from above and got it into her condition that had contained her for years and years and years, she began to move in the expectation, if God said it, I can have it. And that settles it. And it says she moved by faith, crawling on her hands and knees and reached out and touched Jesus' hem. And immediately she tapped into what was born from above. And the thing that had tried to contain her and keep her under, below, beneath, ashamed, embarrassed, immediately the power of God broke it. This is true religion. If there's no power, get me out of it. I don't need a crutch. I'd rather just limp. The world's doing it. It looks pretty good. I'd rather just limp. I don't need a religious crutch. I need something born from God who can't be contained. Would you agree God can't be contained? That was a small clip. God, can he be contained? No. Really? Really? Then what are you worried about? Here's what you're worried about, whether he's with you. That's the only thing you're worried about. Once you come to the conclusion he is, then you need to know he is in you. Isn't that right? Yes. Trust me, when I get up to preach, once I feel this anointing in me and it's the spirit in the inside of me, I feel like preaching. I don't care who's here. If the president was here, I wouldn't back off. Amen. If Bill Gates was here, I wouldn't back off. Why? Because I am not trying to make flesh happy. I am taking something in me and it's like fire shut up in my body. It has to come out. It got to come out. Why? Because I know it's born from him. So this is a good scripture. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And you want to know how you can win and never be contained and become the overcomer, which we studied about and heard about and spent all summer getting ready for? Well, the time has come and some of us aren't operating as overcomers. We're staying below. We're staying beneath. Why? Because you're not living from the place which was born from above. You've gone back to your old ways, which you are contained. That was straight. I guess that was pretty straight. You know? There's all kinds of drinks out there. There's Mai Tais, Blue Hawaiians. Someone even said, well, I see a young person here. I was going to name that drink. There's other drinks. But sometimes it's a straight shot. It's straight. You have no business being contained by flesh that died when you became a Christian. We shouldn't be contained by it. It's our faith that gives us the power to overcome anything in this world. And your faith is not in you. Your faith is in Him. And when He speaks something to you or He gives you something to you, you receive it by your faith, and then you take it and you won't allow anything to overcome you in that area. If I hear another Christian say, I don't know if anybody loves me, I'm going to personally take you aside and talk to you. Your whole faith is that the love of God, the love of heaven, the only true love, the only real love, love born from above that man doesn't even recognize, agape love, has come to you. God so loved you that He came and set up a system in which you could receive that love and live in that love. So how could you out of your mouth? You know why? Because your mouth contains you. If your mouth contains you that nobody loves you, trust me, you're not doing good in other areas because you're speaking containment. Don't speak containment to yourself. Snared by your own words and confessions. Either He loves you or He doesn't. Which one is it? The Bible said, choose this day. Does He or doesn't He? Once you've decided He does, you should never talk. Let me tell husbands and wives something. Don't ever use the word divorce until you're on the day in which you're willing to execute it. You should never bring it into a conversation, a discussion. It should never be a threat. I hate threats. Why? Because the devil is a threatener. He's constantly threatening us. Don't ever use the word divorce until you're willing to step into it. If my wife hears me say divorce, I'm praying for someone, or I've lost my mind. One of the two. Why? Because you don't play. You don't try to contain with fear. You don't try to control from the outside and conform things. If it's not inside, it ain't there. Who is he that overcomes the world? That he that believes Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, let's, apostle, take this where the rubber meets the road. Isn't that what he would say? Where the rubber meets the road. Okay, I believe, I know I'm born again, but I have some circumstances in my life that seem to be overcoming me. I can't seem to break out. I can't seem to get loose. What do I do? Okay, let's just read it. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So what's trying to contain you? What is it that's holding you down? Is it poverty? Well, let's find out what's born from above. Receive that from him. Coming out of the mouth of Christ, coming out of the life of God, and let's birth that thing and overcome this thing. Anything that there's a problem to, is it oppressive spirit? Is it depression? Well, then you should be the biggest praiser because the Bible says he replaces the garment of heaviness with a spirit of praise, with a jacket of praise. Therefore, if you want to overcome it, you should be the biggest praiser in the house. But isn't it funny that depression locks you in a dark room? You don't want to answer the phone. You don't want to talk to nobody. Why? Because it is overcoming you until you decide you're tired of being overcome. You have to come out. So if you can get some praise in here, it can overcome the resistance that's trying to conform you. That's a good word. You know, I use the poverty one. Anybody struggle with challenges of finances? Because most, you know, it's amazing. Ministries like Benny Hinn, famous for the most amazing healings, literally have on record dead people waking up, blind seeing, deaf hearing, any disease that you can name has been cured in their ministry simply by the anointing of God. It's been right. And they're known for that, and they travel the world with healing crusades. But he said the number one prayer request their ministry takes on a daily basis is help with their finances. Number one. So that means that the saints, the church, the children of God, though they're children, seemingly can't overcome the poverty which Jesus died for us to be able to say, let the poor say, right? So how do I say that I got the faith of Jesus to activate what's in here to come out of here? Well, the scriptures are simple. Let's go to his words, can we? Luke 6:38. This is a memory verse for the interns. Interns, we're going to have a party next Friday night after prayer. 8 o'clock, bring your favorite dessert or appetizer. Interns, we're just going to have a good time and celebrate what you've already done. There's no assignment, there's no test. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, right? Shall men give into your bosom. If you want what's in here to come out, then your faith will agree with what he planted, which is his word. So don't expect to try to, from the outside, overcome the world and finances with your own outward ability, because it's only what's born from God that can overcome anything on this earth. So if you want to get it out, you have to move in the faith in which was born from above. Some of us here have come to the conclusion that giving is the best life in the world. And I'm telling you, you should be known for the rest of your life as the most free financial people in the world. In the world. Did you know that billionaires aren't free in their finances? Do you know most billionaires worry about their finances more than the broke person does? Because they constantly have to try to keep it. You know what I mean? So even those with money who we're trying to get money like them, they're not at peace. They're constantly fighting and battling anxiety and worry. And so they're driven to try to keep, not all of them. But if it comes from God, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. How, if I've been contained in my finances, not just this year, but last year, the year before that, the year before that, the year before that, the year, I've kind of always been underneath this poverty thing. And now that I think about it, my parents were. And if I really think about it, their parents were. So this thing has been containing families and people for a long time. And God answered it a long time ago. And if you're a born again believer, it should be in you. But if you don't make a demand for it to come out, it doesn't come out. You have the power to overcome. The word, the Bible says that you should lend to nations. Give, and it shall be given to you. So what it's saying is, if you want to activate this thing from heaven, this power, this ability, this overcomer life, you have to take from what you already got and start working with it. You got to take what God's already given you and start working with it. This is just one area. We should just slay this dog, should we? Go to Malachi. This is the last book of the Old Testament before we cross to the New Testament. Therefore, it's right before Matthew, if you're looking in your Bible. Chapter 3. Let's see one of the last things. Did you know there was 400 years of silence from the prophets until Jesus came? God says, you know what? I've given you everything you need to know. I'm not even going to tell you anything else. And so for 400 years, there was no words from heaven given to the earth. Wow! 400 years, heaven went silent on the earth until Christ came and said, I'm here. I'm the answer for everything. I'm here. I've come to save you. For 400 years, it went quiet. And this is the last book that we see before the New Testament, whether it's in chronological order or not. It's in the ballpark. And one of the last things that God says, Malachi 3, I believe we're starting at verse 8. I got to get out of poverty. I don't like poverty. I don't like being contained. I don't like money telling me what I can and can't do. God says, go around the world and preach the gospel. My pocketbook says, stay home and cry. And so which one do I do? I stay home and cry. So which one have I become the body for? Which one am I married to? That's why it says, wives, submit to your own husband. If you're married to one person, you don't go listen to what the other husband said about what you should be doing in your house. If God says go around the world and preach the gospel, what is money and finances doing telling you you can't go? You're in the wrong covenant with that thing. That's why you got to be careful having old boyfriends and girlfriends still making calls in your house. That was free. But it might take years of counseling to get over it. Will a man rob God? God, yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. This is God's word, not mine, okay? So I'm under the same obligation to it that you are. One finger at you, three pointing back. God hates hypocrites. Will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Let's keep going. You are cursed with a curse. Can I tell you what that means? Because you're not tapping into what I say from above, you're being controlled by what's beneath. You're under the whole world before Christ came to set those free that would receive it was under the curse. Everybody was under the curse. Where did the curse come from? Adam and Eve. Everybody was under the curse. So it's not like God has to put a voodoo hex on you. Oh, you didn't tithe this week. Oh, you whoop, whoop. What's happening is you're not operating in the blessing. So therefore, the curse is having its way with you. I don't know if I believe in tithes and offering. Okay. What do you want me to do? I'm deciding whether it came from him or whether it didn't come from him. That's it. If it's born from above, or man came up with it. Whose idea is it? Because if it's God's idea, it's meant to set me free. If it's God's idea, it's meant to put me in relationship of liberty and freedom. If it came from God to me, it's the part of my life that can overcome anything that comes against me. But it's amazing how we can hear this and listen. How many years in the church? We can quote this. Oh, I know where he's going with this one. But still, you're contained. Why are you contained? You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation. You know, it's not good for the nation to rob God. There are certain nations. Did you know there are certain nations that have blessed the church and the body of Christ? And it used to be this nation. But this nation has started to pull away from that. In fact, if you saw, the IRS was accused and caught and confessed to purposely making it harder on churches, Christian churches, in their rules, and they started to have people work in denying claims and opportunities for the body of Christ. They're purposely doing it. So whole nations have robbed God, but guess what the whole nation wants? The blessing can't be contained in finance. We want the gold. Oh, man, matter of fact, we'll go to your country, take your gold, beat you up, because we want the gold. You know why they're racing around the universe trying to land on other planets? Do you think they're doing that just so because they watch Star Trek and it just seems cool? They're looking for resources so that they can monopolize them before anybody else gets there and have more money than anyone in the universe that they can think of. There's a drive for it. But God's saying, if you don't receive what I give you and use that as your money, which means the words of God should be more important to you than any dollar bill. It means what God says should come before anything. And all tithes and offering is to make sure that you value God's words over anything on the earth. So the nations rob, and we're almost done with this verse. Trust me, we're going to get into other areas, so you don't have to worry about this one all day. Verse 10. Pastor, they're going to verse 10. Pastor, you know, we need some help in our finances. You know, I don't mind trying to give you some bread, but why don't you start baking your own? The church wants to help as many people as they can, but why put water in a broken bucket? And you're unwilling to fix the bucket. If you're unwilling to fix the bucket, why do you want my water? Some people are so reliant on other people for their finances that they expect that your bucket is actually my bucket. Your bucket is my bucket. And you know what they say, if you ever say, hey, listen. Family. What is God? You're supposed to bless. Jesus told his disciples when they went out two by two and they were sent to bring the good news of can't be contained for the kingdom is at hand. He said, don't bring money, because if you do that, they'll want it. Wow. Don't even bring an extra coat or jacket. Wow. Don't worry about where you're going to stay, because I'm going to make them take care of all that for you and not the other way around. I love it. I love it. So guess what? They went around, and whoever was worthy in that city to take care of them, I want you to leave your peace and your blessing on that house so that it can't be contained. That's what it said. But now there's kind of the expectation that the church should be the place where you come just to get food. The Bible says some came to Jesus for fishes and loaves. All they wanted was fishes and loaves. They didn't want salvation. But they were going to stay under the curse that was containing them, even though they were meant to come into the house of bread or the house of God to be set free from it. So you have to die to some of these old things. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And just so you know, when it says meat, he's not talking about actual eating meat. For man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Keep the house of God in such a place that anybody can come in and hear words that were born from heaven. For that's what we live on. For that's what we eat. For that is our daily bread. Keep the house of God running in such a place that it's thriving and can't be contained, so that the things of heaven, which overcome the things of the earth, can constantly be given. How would you feel if you fed 1 billion people who end up having eternity in hell, but you gave them all bread? Compared to, you gave 5 people bread, but 1 person received the bread of life from you and were changed from damnation to eternal life. Which one's more valuable to you? So what I have to do is stop the pressure of becoming a house of natural bread here and just becoming a good humanitarian spot for people to come get their earthly needs. That's not what the church is. The church is the place where things born from heaven are given. That's the church. Why? So that you can be broke loose from the curse. You can come out of yourself. You can be born again. You can hear from God. You can receive from God the Spirit of God moving, that you can see and participate in the body of Christ. Now, does God want us to take care of people with our natural bread? If I'm eating food and I look over and you don't got some food, I'll give you some food. But my whole hope is to give you something born of heaven. That's the whole hope. So, church, don't start getting, well, pastor said, I don't got to give anybody bread now. No. That's not the heart of it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just suggesting to you that God's dealing with bigger things. And nowadays, just so you know, what we think, we don't have enough food. Maybe you haven't traveled. In this day and age, when they said they didn't have enough food, I'm talking about not only do they not have a refrigerator. Some of us have refrigerators and say, there's nothing in here. And then you bring someone from another country and they say, oh my gosh, I can feed a village with what you have right here. Yeah. Right? Why? Because it's just the mentality. It's just the mentality. It's just the mentality. It's amazing that right now some of us are complaining about the opportunities we have in this country. And there's other people putting their children on a boat and kissing them, not knowing if they'll ever see, hoping they can have your opportunity. Just amazing thought. Why? It's just a mentality. Yes. That's true. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat for my house, and prove me now herein that the Lord of hosts, if I will not, watch this, open up the windows of heaven. If you will do this, I'm going to pour out consistently to you something that can't be contained on the earth. Are you being contained in your finances? Are you being contained in your finances? Are you at liberty in your finances? Has the will of God manifested in the financial realm in your life? Are you a child of God in your finances? Number one prayer request, finances in the church. Are you free indeed in your finances? Right? If you're not, I'm giving you the portion that God has given the church to not be contained with. What you do with it, the Bible says, your faith will overcome. And your faith is believing what God says. Well, Pastor, I thought I was set free from the curse of the law. You are. Is this the curse of the law? Or is this to set you free from the curse of the law? Just read it and you tell me which one it is. Is this one trying to tell you to be cursed or set you free from a curse? Well, then don't sit up there contained saying you're free. Let me give you another example of that. Let me finish this and I'll give you another example because I can see you need me to move on. Just so you know, until Jesus comes back, he's not going to give you a different answer to this. He's not going to give you a different answer. It came from him. He didn't change his mind. He's not a man that he doesn't, you know how we are sometimes. We tell our kids no. They just pressure long enough. We finally give it to them. So we think we can do that with God. Doesn't work like that. I gave you everything you need for life and godliness. What you do with it is up to you. God is going to open up your windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be enough room to receive it. That sounds like can't be contained. It's amazing. Some of the biggest givers in this church try to get creative in how they can give more. I think of someone like Juanita for me. She has found that she can use her gift of cooking to be one of her greatest ways to give to and reach more people, to give. I have something to give someone at all times. And so she's coming up. And so because of that, God's giving her recipes, right? I want you to watch this. God's giving her recipes. Why? Because she is using it to agree with his word. In the old days, when people wrote songs for God, these praise, these hymns, they weren't doing it to try to finally get to go to the Dove Awards. They weren't doing it thinking, I'm going to make $1 million on this album. They wrote a song that was birthed on the inside that was bigger than they could contain, so they had to find a way to get it out. And it became a song. Why? Because it has to get out of me. It's what's in me is too big to stay there. And so the songs were coming from a place of, this is just what's in me, not of, I wonder how many people I can get to buy this. Just a different thought. Isn't it? I told the church in Wenatchee, I did the first offering as the pastor. And I let them know that this church is not running off the money that's coming in from another place. Whatever this church has will be done from the people that are right here. And if God puts it on someone else's heart to help out with that, that'll definitely be part of what's happening right here. But I don't want you to think that the church's obligation is to already have all this stuff, and all you have to do is come up and enjoy what the church gives you. That's not how the church was birthed. Have you come to the conclusion that you have found something in God that's worth giving all you got? If you haven't found that yet, then you're still looking for another. But if you found that, you marry it. That's why the ladies say, put a ring on it. You're talking so nice. But if that's really in you, seal this thing. Okay, I'm just going to make it straight because I have to. Pastor Rainwater, I'll take the brunt of the problems for our culture and society. Husbands not being husbands, or boyfriends not marrying the wives or the girls, and the girls letting the boyfriends just be with them and sleep with them and stay at their house, is the problem that's going on in our families. If you're a Christian person, don't sleep with anybody you're not married to. If you're a Christian person and you're sleeping with people who you're not married with, you're contained. You're contained. I heard this great story. This man lived in, I think it was Costa Rica, and he had a pet monkey. I think I told the story to some of you, but listen and laugh again. In Costa Rica, they lived out in the woods, and he had this little hut. And so the monkey was on this cable that went from one tree to another with a little thing around his neck and connected to that. So he could move, and he could kind of move around the yard, but he could only go as far as he had area. And the one reason that you would do that, one, he lets you know when animals are coming. Number two, he lets you know when people are there for robbers. And it's like a watchdog. And so this man went to work, and he came back to his little hut. He was only going to be there for about 6 months, and he came back, and he's trying to get used to the lifestyle, and his hut was ransacked. And he's, you know that feeling of when people have invaded your privacy, it just doesn't feel right. And he's thinking, you know what, I'm here trying to help the people here, and they don't even know that I'm here to help them, and they're taken from me. And it's just, oh. So anyhow, cleaned everything up. And then it wasn't but the next day that he comes back and the exact same thing happened again. His place was ransacked. And he realized this monkey ain't doing his job. So he decided that he was going to do something a little different. So he went to work because he can't see around. He can't see how many people are watching him and knowing his timing and stuff. And so he leaves for about 30 minutes and he comes sneaking back. And he can hear all this noise in his hut. And he goes in closer, and all of a sudden he said he made a sound. He said immediately the monkey jumped out of the window, ran back to its collar, and hooked itself out, up and sat there. It was the monkey. He said it was the monkey. And he couldn't believe that this little monkey was smart enough that when he came back to hook itself back up and act like everything's all right. It said he went to try to smack the monkey. The monkey screamed at him, went into a tree, used the bathroom on his hand, and threw it at him. Listen, that's a dirty monkey. That's a dirty monkey. Some of us come off the chain and come to church. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hi. I'll pray for you. Pray for you. Can't be contained. And then we go back in our car, hit the radio, open the call, and let it flow. Just right back to it. Contained. And you think you're off the hook. Are you off the hook? Are you off the hook? Come on, get off the hook. It's the same hook that's been catching people forever. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Power, position, recognition, pride, fear. Every time that one of those is named, I'm going to tell some of you one more time. Get your driver's license. If I've told you before, that means you're not listening to me. You don't think I gave that to you from God. I'm telling you, if I told you to do something and it came from him, it's not me that you're ignoring. Either I'm sent to you or I'm not. If I'm sent to you, don't have me praying for you all night and you staying on the hook. Pastor, you fast and don't eat and then give me what God has for my blessing. That was my word. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. There's something that God gives us that can't be contained. If you received it, it's coming out. If you say you believe a word and it never shows up in your life, then you didn't really believe it. If it came from heaven and you said, God told me to be a preacher, but you don't even pray, but you're waiting for a day for it to show up, You don't even go to God. A preacher has learned how to go to God to get words that will overcome anything in the earth and then how to express them and give them to people regardless of what they get back. Are you a preacher? Well, then what's in you shouldn't be able to be contained. If you're contained by your own schedule where you don't even pray, you don't even listen to the word. You don't even study the word, but you're a preacher. I want you to know you're hooked. How do I tell you straight without it sounding? God is too good to act like things. We have to be. What'd I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Some of you got me off track. You see what you did? I'm trying to be encouraging because we can't be contained. You see how many seats are available in this house today? Ridiculous. What God is saying, what God is doing, your testimony of God has done something should be compelling people to come in. You not being contained and you got it from the words that came here, you should be drawing people. All of us should be. This is ridiculous. That's, well, you know, maybe you should start this marketing program. I don't want stuff born from the earth. I don't want, if you got something from him that can overcome anything in the world, bring it to me. Otherwise, we don't need ideas. Well, maybe you should try. I only want it if it's born from above. And oh, by the way, don't have a whole bunch of words from above if you don't pray and you're still on the hook. God told me to tell you. Amen. Click. Some of us come off the rope to prophesy. Thus says the Lord, Facebook. Click. If you really want to be free, you have to do it God's way. That's it. That's how easy it is. That's why children, raise your hand if you're under 12. Raise your hand if you're under 15. Raise your hand if you're under 18. How old are you, Malachi? Oh, okay, he raised his hand. I'm about to say, this guy, I'm trying to reach him, but if you're under 30, Malachi raised his hand. You have the best chance of being off the hook over the rest of us. Because the failures of your parents and people around you doesn't have the right to control you yet. And you can make a decision to not get on your daddy's hook, to not get on your mommy's hook. You don't have to do it. And if you would hear the Sunday school words to children, just those, you don't need advanced words to be set free. You can be leaders of this church, in any church, communities, nations, in the world. You can show us what true praise looks like because you're off the hook. We're, a lot of times, we come in. Why? Because my wife told me I can't dance and I'm afraid people are looking at me funny if I move too much, so I'm trying to stay contained. And we actually try to be contained. We try to be contained. We try to be contained. Why? Because I don't want it to look crazy. Oh, I don't want too much of the Holy Spirit because I don't want to be uncontained. I don't want to, you know, what happens if I fall or what happens if I act a fool myself? So I'm going to try to contain it. Don't move in my life, God, because I'm... How do you activate what God has given you? My wife had a lot of eggs before I showed up. But she needed a seed. When she got the seed, it was named after me because the name follows the seed. So we have little rainwaters because the seed was rainwater. Whatever you receive from God has his name on it, and it's his seed, and it's named after him, and it won't fail. But you have to get pregnant with it. You have to receive it into your life, and you have to love it, and you have to continue in it until it birth. It has to be more important than the things around you. Trust me, when my wife got pregnant, she yelled at me on how I drive. Wait, hey, slow down, honey, slow down. What? I'm driving fine. Slow down. Why? Because she's mindful of life in her. The kids start acting crazy around her. Hey, watch out for baby. Wait, watch. No roughhousing around me. Why? I'm carrying baby. I got life. Don't let people get so close to your life that they don't respect the life in you. They don't even recognize it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I got to preach again tonight. This is awesome. Verse 12. I get to preach twice. I'll be leaving right after service going to Wenatchee. And I ain't preaching this word because they're not where we're at. They're at number 2. They're only at second Sunday. This church has been going for 22 years. So we get, there's some waxing on and waxing off that we have to do. The Apostle Paul says this. All things, I've been set free. I'm not under the law. All things are lawful to me. I can do whatever I want to do. I just want you to know, you can do whatever you want to do. Right? That's the freedom we have in God. I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm free. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I won't let anything hook me. I won't get on the hook of anything. I won't let the power of anything overtake me. Why? Because I'm using the power of my freedom to overcome the thing that's trying to contain me. So I won't let it contain me anymore. So don't use your freedom as a reason to be hooked. Well, God knows that he made man and we can't help it. It just comes, you know, Seeds are being produced and they got to go somewhere. It's amazing what we come up with. Well, God understands. He understands that you're on the hook and he's trying to help you get off of it. These are those messages where later you get letters and it says, you know, I don't think it was fair that you were talking about me in the pulpit. Because everybody's thinking it's them. Because the word, you don't read the word reads you. You read the word and it reads you. Whoa. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Let me tell you something. If your mama was an alcoholic and your daddy was an alcoholic, don't tell me Jesus drank wine. Just don't tell me. Just stop that. It was grape juice. They didn't have it like we have it. Our wine, they just ask you, well, how strong do you want it? 13%, 15%? I go, no problem. They can make it. Pick your wine. Isn't it funny how a lot of us drink the wine so that we can come out and not be contained? We want no limits. Only to find that all we're really doing is containing ourselves. That's all we're doing. So Paul says, hey, let me explain something about sin. I'm set free. But I'm not going to go back below and let something put me under. So therefore, I need something from God to help me stay above. What has God given us? What has he given us so that you can be an overcomer? What do you have from God so that you can be successful today in your God-given purpose and destiny? I'm just telling on everybody at this point. I was talking to one young man, asking him how his family is. He says, things are pretty much the same. And kind of told me what people in the family were doing. And I said, aren't you the head of the house? I only want to know how you're doing right now, because if you're contained, the whole family's under that. How are you? Are you in the Word right now? Are you been praying? Are you the priest of your home? Have you been praying every day over your family? Have you prophesied over your children, over your household today? What have you said? What have you spoken? What did you receive from God today to give the family? What do you got? Don't tell me the condition of the hook. I'm tired of giving you the answer. Only to find you up in the hut, tearing things up when I come home. All things are lawful to me. Let's go quickly. We're almost done here. Matter of fact, the musicians can take their spot. And everybody said, don't do it loud. Galatians chapter 4. Why are you doing this, Pastor? I'm doing this because God sent us a message and gave us the substance and broke curses and broke things during our conference for us to be overcomers and to immediately walk in it. And what I have found out, if you don't immediately take what God gives you, the devil comes to steal it. That's what the Bible says. He says he comes, whatever God delivers to you, if you don't immediately plant it by faith and begin to live it, he says immediately the devil comes to take it. So then you start questioning whether it's really even true. The Bible told the man who was lame, rise up and walk. Don't lay in your bed anymore. Get out of that. Come up. Don't be contained by that bed anymore. He got him up. The man walked to the temple and gave God praise. Jesus, finding him in the temple, he said, now listen to me. Don't go back to laying in that bed or it'll be worse for you the second time. I'm telling you not to go back to the old bed in which God has delivered us from. I'm saying don't go back to the same way, the same mentality before you died with Christ to be raised with Christ. I'm saying that God gives us a spirit to be overcomers, but you have to walk by it. You have to agree with it. You have to confess it. If you believe Jesus is Lord, then you have the power to overcome today. And then what your Lord says should have power to do what he says. Otherwise, he ain't my Lord. If God can't do it, let's find another. But if our confession is he's doing it, then do what he says to do. Galatians 4. I hate the feeling of being contained. If I walk in my house and I feel contained too long, something has to change. I can't lay in it. Don't go back to God being second. First in every word, every deed, every thought. The Bible says this is the weapon of our warfare, that I'm supposed to take every thought that exalts itself above God, and I'm going to make it bow to Jesus. If I have a thought that I'm not going to forgive you, I immediately will say what Jesus said. Jesus said that if I don't forgive you, how can I expect him to forgive me? Therefore, what's born from above is greater than any imagination that came from me. And so I'm not going to go over and repeat what you did to me. I'm going to repeat what he said to me. Why? Because I'm not going to let you contain me. Why? Because his words mean more to me than your craziness. Why would I put what you did more important than what's born from heaven? So you can contain me? Unforgiveness is one of the biggest hooks that exists. We're almost there. I like some light music to make me feel like I did it. I said Galatians chapter 4 in my closing scripture. Verse 9, we're going to read it together. And when you're done today, the Bible says that the word of God, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, you've been cleansed by this word. God doesn't bring you in a place to condemn you, but I tell you what, he will clean you up. The woman with the meeting place at the well with Jesus, Jesus says, if you knew who it was that was before you, because I'm born from heaven and I have the ability to give you life, that you won't be contained. He said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water and I would give you living water and you would never thirst again. She finally asked for the water. And the first thing Jesus said to the woman who wanted water from him born from above was, go get your husband. Why did he say that? She says, I have no husband. And he says, you're exactly right. In fact, you've had five and the one you're with now isn't your husband. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was offering her water and telling her, we're going to have to straighten some stuff out. If you want what's born from above, then we're going to have to straighten some stuff out. Otherwise, it will keep being over you. But now, read it together. Ready? Read. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Once you've been set free from something in God, once God has forgiven you, once the blood of Jesus throws it into a sea of forgetfulness, why would you want to bring it back into the remembrance of your life? Why would you want it to show up again today? You have to treat things hostile that are trying to keep you beneath. You have to take power and authority when something continues to keep you in bondage. If it has happened in your family, then they need you to overcome. This is that day. Would you rise with me? Worship team, lead us in a song.